The Baseball Tonight podcast is presented by LinkedIn Jobs.
Way out of here. Oh,
goodness. This is Baseball Tonight, the podcast.
This is the Baseball Tonight podcast for May 17th, 2021. This is Tim Kirkchin pinch hitting for Buster Olney. On this date, by the way, in 1970, Hank Aaron recorded hit number 3,000 of his career. Don't forget, at the end of Aaron's career, if you took away all of his home runs, all 755, he would still have 3,000 hits. That's how great Hank Aaron was. On this date in 1998, David Wells pitched a perfect game. David Wells, one of the most playful guys in the world, said afterwards, "Yeah, I knocked down 27 straight hitters, and then after the game, I went out and knocked down 27 Heinekens." He was joking, I think. And in 2011, one of the great power hitters of all time and one of the nicest men I've ever met in the game, Harmon Killebrew, died. Boy, it was a pleasure watching him as a kid. The power that he put together was just remarkable. And a happy 73rd birthday to former major leaguer Carlos May. And I mention this because Carlos May wore number 17. So on the back of his jersey was also his birthday. It said May 17th. As a reminder, I'm Carlos May, and I was born on May 17th. Joining us today, of course, is our producer, Taylor Schwenk, who is in his house barely in Connecticut and feeling a little tired. And speaking of tired, Buster Olney is in the Atlanta airport, exhausted, sitting in a little cubbyhole somewhere. He'll join us in just a minute. So lots of news and notes from the weekend and from yesterday, starting with Joe Girardi against Gene Segura, Phillies manager, Phillies second baseman, had a little dust up. We'll talk about that shortly. Corey Seager, the Dodgers shortstop, will be out at least 4 weeks with a broken hand slash pinky, but he will not need surgery. That's good news for the Dodgers, but they're in some trouble. Albert Pujols is rumored to be signing with the Dodgers. That expected to happen this week. This should be fascinating how a future Hall of Famer fits into that team. And a guy that some people think someday will be a Hall of Famer, Jared Kelnick, made his major league debut with the Seattle Mariners, and people were standing in Seattle for that.
This is torched way, way back, number one. Show Jared Kelnick. Welcome to Seattle.
Replay, we had another tricky situation. This one between the Royals and the White Sox, and Jose Abreu and Mike Matheny, the Royals manager, was not happy about that.
Infield back. Mercedes takes off for second. The pitch gets away. Here comes Abreu. He will score. White Sox win. They win it.
He didn't go over the plate, never did touch it until his hand came through later and the tag was already placed on his jersey. You can see the jersey move when he tagged him in the body.
Pick up with Shane Bieber, not happy that his strikeout streak, that's 20 consecutive starts with at least 8 strikeouts, ended yesterday in Seattle. And more important, the Indians lost that game. And finally, the Angels won yesterday. Shohei Ohtani, the most remarkable player in the big leagues today, hit a home run with 2 outs in the top of the 9th inning to give the Angels a 1-run victory over the Red Sox.
Here's the pitch, and he swings, and Shohei Ohtani drives the ball deep down the right side, and they're saying that ball has left the ballpark, and Shohei has just given the Angels the lead in this ball game, and now the Angels are on top 6-5.
Before we get to Buster, I just want to mention that you can listen to every single game of the NBA play-in tournament on ESPN Radio starting Tuesday, May 18th, with Hornets Pacers at 6:30 p.m., followed by Wizards Celtics at 9 p.m. All times are Eastern. Go Wizards. Then on Wednesday, you've got Spurs Grizzlies, 7:30 p.m. Eastern, followed by Warriors Lakers, 10 p.m. Eastern time. Then Thursday, you get the winner of Hornets Pacers versus the loser of Wizards Celtics. Loser goes home. Winner continues on as the 8 seed. And then Friday, you've got the winner of Spurs Grizzlies against the loser of Warriors Lakers should be very exciting. Again, you can listen to all of this on ESPN Radio starting tomorrow, May 18th through Friday, May 21st. Very exciting stuff. And be sure to keep up with all the action. If you miss a game, if you just want the pulse of what's going on in the league afterward, you can listen to the Woj Pod, the Low Post, the Hoop Collective, or Jalen Jacoby, wherever you get your podcasts.
Dogs are an important part of our lives. That means protecting them from parasites. Ask your vet about NexGard Plus, a Foxaloner, Moxidectin, and Pyrantel chewable tablets. NexGard Plus Chews provides one-and-done monthly protection against fleas, ticks, heartworm disease, roundworms, and hookworms. Plus, they're delicious and easy to give. Use with caution in dogs with a history of seizures or neurological disorders. Dogs should be tested for existing heartworm infection prior to starting a preventive. Ask about NexGard Plus Chews.
You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish.
Yes, the clutch hits, the strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems, with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-timey chimney sweeps, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish. But you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, 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 with nothing on your roof. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com. Sign up today. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Unfortunately, your flight to Bristol has been delayed once again. But for your entertainment purposes, please listen to the Baggage Claim Monday edition of the Baseball Tonight podcast with Buster Olney. The White Zone is for immediate unloading and loading of passengers only. No parking in the White Zone.
So it's a Baggage Claim Monday. It's Tim Kirkchin here. Buster, please, where are you today? Did you find a cubbyhole?
Yeah, I'm in the Atlanta airport. But it's this morning, Tim, it's not about me. It's about Taylor. Because all last week, okay, as he headed off for this bachelor party on the Outer Banks, I was preparing backup plan after backup plan after backup plan because I figured he'd still be lying on a beach someplace completely inebriated. So, Taylor, I got it. How did you make it through the weekend?
The weekend was a great time. We had a lot of fun. We played way more wiffle ball than I ever expected. We played 27 innings. My knee is killing me. Actually got an appropriate amount of sleep, blew past the over-under for drinks, which I set at 40 at the end of the week. So, you 40? Know, if you had the over, cash in, everybody.
Tim, have you had 40 drinks in your life?
I've had 40 beers in my life. I've had 40 glasses of wine in my life. But if a drink is something more than a beer or glass of wine, I've never had 40. I've never had four. I mean, I've never done that.
Taylor, my God.
It was over 40.
How are you still standing? 40 drinks in 3 days?
I don't know, man. A lot of caffeine. Again, I slept pretty well. Pacing myself is key. But yesterday, you guys, was the full-on disaster. It was the march from North Carolina all the way to Connecticut. And I got on the road at 8:45 in the morning with about an hour and a half stop in the Annapolis area to see my mother. We did not get home until 12:05 last night. And then I was like, I got to get ready for the podcast because I actually had to drive the last hour and a half, 2 hours, because my wife, she had a little too much fun this weekend and she could no longer drive. So I'm running.
How relieved were you that I wrote the rundown when I landed it off my red eye from San Diego? When you saw that in your inbox, you must have been incredibly relieved.
Oh, yes, absolutely. So thank you for doing that. Thanks for filling in, Tim. I don't have a ton of energy today, but we'll press on here. You guys can talk some baseball and maybe we can debrief a little bit more tomorrow, Buster.
Okay. Right. And detox a little bit tomorrow too. Yes.
Yeah. Lots of water today.
Okay. So Buster, let's start off. Joe Girardi, who you know very well, so do I, got into it with Gene Segura, his second baseman, in a dugout confrontation yesterday. Segura had a couple of errors. What do you make of that whole situation?
Yeah, it's been interesting. Because I feel like, and we saw this with Buck Showalter, you see with a lot of managers, he's evolving, right? It feels like Joe, and I told you the story that when I covered him as a player, he would always reflexively protect pitchers, teammates, and, you know, and Andy Pettit would get hit around hard, 7 runs and 2 1/3. And Joe would go, oh, no, he had great stuff. Well, Joe now this year, I've noticed this a couple times, he's a little bit different. Like he wants to hold the players accountable. When they haven't played well this year, he's come out and said something. And I don't know what was said in the dugout, but I think Tom McCarthy translated correctly what was said in the dugout, which was essentially Joe going up to Gene Segura and saying, catch the ball. What do you think?
Well, that sounds like Joe Girardi. And again, I think Joe has changed also. He's very disciplined, almost militaristic about things. And he's got this idea that he's the manager of the team and he has a right to say what he wants to say. I happen to be in favor of that. Back when I was a young kid, you ever spoke back to a teacher or a coach or your parents, you were in a lot of trouble. It just doesn't work that way anymore. And I think Joe Girardi is saying, well, as long as I'm the manager of the team, we're still going to do things my way. Are you okay with that, Buster?
I am, knowing, and I think Joe probably realizes that, you know, he's now into his window, right? And there is a high expectation within that organization that they need to win. And I think he's okay with putting pressure on the players to do better. I remember talking with him after that, you know, that ugly Sunday night game when they lost to the Mets, about all the mistakes that they made. And, you know, I said, I've never seen you like that, be that direct. But I think he understands how much internal pressure there is this year to have success for the Phillies.
Yeah. And I'm sorry, he's allowed to tell a player, as is any other manager, we need better than this. You're allowed to do that when you're the manager of a major league team, no matter how much power has been taken away from you. All right, switching gears here. Corey Seager broke his hand. That's the bad news. He's going to be out at least 4 weeks, but no surgery required. What does this mean for the Dodgers that are already banged up and now they lose their shortstop for at least a month?
Yeah, Tim, I'm curious to see whether or not you agree with me or with Alex Rodriguez in our broadcast on Sunday night. You know, he mentioned when we talked about the Dodger injuries, he said he still feels like the Dodgers are in the driver's seat in the National League West, that yeah, they'll figure it out. And I said, I don't think that's the case anymore, that these injuries now have mounted up to such a high volume. You lose Dustin May for the whole year. Cody Bellinger is still out. You know, who knows when Corey Seager is going to come back, at least a month from now. Tim, I think they're in an absolute dogfight. I look at the Giants. I think they're a good team. I saw the Padres over the weekend sweeping the Cardinals without all of these regulars because of COVID. They're completely energized, and I still think the Dodgers could, you know, wind up winning the division, but in the driver's seat is too strong for me. What about you?
I think they're in trouble for the moment. Look at their lineup yesterday, Buster. The last 6 guys in the order yesterday have a combined 39 career home runs. That's the lineup that they're throwing out there. And the injuries to the pitching is just as bad as the injuries to the everyday lineup. I think they will get healthy. I think they'll pull it back together. And I think when October begins, not only will they be in the playoffs, they'll be the best team in the National League, if not the whole major leagues by that point. But right now they are in trouble with that lineup and without the depth of pitching that we thought they've had. But they did add Albert Pujols. Now, Albert has 92 plate appearances this year, Buster. He has 3 walks. He has no doubles, but he's got 5 home runs. And he's acknowledged he will take a part-time role, at least privately he's acknowledged that. What about the Dodgers signing Albert Pujols, and where is he going to play and how much is he going to play?
Yeah, this deal raised a lot of eyebrows with other organizations over the weekend, because in their eyes, it reflected to some degree how much the Dodgers' depth has been compromised. You know, the idea, you know, a year ago or 2 years ago that they would be signing a 41-year-old player who's batting under 200. Now, I don't think anyone would have expected that, especially a team that values flexibility. Albert's not a good first baseman anymore. You're not going to use him as a pitch runner. He can't play other positions. He can hit left-handed pitching, it seems, based on the numbers we've seen. 878 OPS this year. You know, the Dodgers could start him at first base against lefties. They could pinch hit him late in games. You know his heart rate's going to be in a good place. You know he's going to know what the pitchers are trying to do. But I will tell you, it surprised people that he, especially signing with a National League team, rather than American League team because he can't DH.
Right. Back to Seager for a second, Buster. Gavin Lux is going to be their shortstop for a while. And we all know he signed as a shortstop, played 305 games in the minor leagues as a shortstop. But, you know, it's a very small sample. He only batted 240 times, but he's hitting 220 lifetime, strikes out one every 3.3 at bats. Are you convinced that this is now his shot to show he can play every day and start to swing the bat? Because it's very small, but as he hasn't gotten it going yet.
No. And I think they've been surprised by that. You can remember all the trade conversations in recent years. I think at one point, for example, they were talking with the Indians about Francisco Lindor, and Lux's name was mentioned in that with some trade rumors. And I remember talking with Cleveland officials laughing at that. Like, they're not giving us Gavin Lux. That guy's a star prospect. He's going to be great. I think absolutely he's getting a chance. And oh, by the way, Corey Seager's a free agent in the fall. The Dodgers are going to take in information. But he hasn't played that well in the big leagues. I don't think there's any question about that. And as we sit here today, I don't know if the Dodgers would necessarily have a lot of confidence that he's going to play well in the weeks ahead. What do you think?
Yeah, I heard the same thing, Buster, about Lindor from, you know, talent evaluators and a possibility of being traded for Mookie Betts. And I kept being told they're not trading Gavin Lux. You can't trade Gavin Lux. All right, we're going to give him some time to figure this out. So Seattle called up Jared Kelnick, their great young minor league outfielder, and he had a home run in his first major league series. He's hitting under 200. Yeah, he's only batted 15, 18 times, whatever. That's not the point. What did you think of the Mariners calling him up, as well as Logan Gilbert, one of their top pitching prospects, basically on the same day and showing Mariner fans, at least here's part of the future with, you know, Julio Rodriguez to come?
Thought it was the right thing to do because Jared Kelnick has demonstrated he's ready to go. But as Jeff Passan and I talked about on the podcast last week, Jerry DePoto also has his political situation in his own organization. Like, he needed to call him up as soon as possible, you know, and let's face it, they've already deferred free agency for both these guys by a year. And maybe big picture, that's what the Mariners, you know, would have preferred. But I think he almost had to call him up. What about you?
Yeah, you have to call him up. And Buster, I've asked a lot of people about Kelnick, who he reminds them of. And I've heard a couple people say Grady Sizemore. And if you're too young to, you're not, but too young to remember Grady Sizemore, that was a breathtaking athlete in his prime when he could run as fast as almost anyone in the league and had tremendous power. And if he hadn't gotten hurt, he was going to be a star for the Indians for years. Do you see Grady Sizemore there? Do you see somebody else?
No question. I've heard the same comparison because of the speed, because of the athleticism. And, you know, Grady Sizemore is someone who would have been at least a borderline Hall of Famer if he had stayed healthy through his career and continued on that early career trajectory.
Right. Okay. We had a very controversial play yesterday, Buster, in the White Sox Royals game. I'm watching this live, and Jose Abreu, he does so many good things. This is why he's the MVP of the league last year. He wasn't just the best hitter and most productive player. He's the team leader. And yesterday he scored basically on a ball in the dirt when he frankly isn't fast enough to do that. There was a question, though, did he actually beat the throw to the plate? Did Cam Gallagher tag him? I watched the replay 100 times, and I'm not positive, but I think he was out at the plate. I'm not sure about that, but the umpire called him safe, and review said he's safe. And Mike Matheny, who's a pretty measured guy, came out and said, we need more accountability on this. I know you didn't get a great look at it, Buster. I don't think anyone did other than the people 2 feet away. But what do you make of that? And more important, what do you make of the way that Major League Baseball is handling these things?
Tim, I'm hearing a lot from on-field staff and from people in the front office. They want more communication from Central Baseball about these decisions. They want to know why, when it appeared to the world that Alec Bohm never touched home plate on that Sunday night game between the Phillies and Braves, why there wasn't some acknowledgement of that mistake. They want to know about that, what seemed to be a mistake in a game between, who was it, the Angels and the Rays, why there wasn't more accountability from the central office. And I think that that feeds into what Matheny's saying. There's a conversation that Mike Hill, who oversees baseball on field, baseball operations, instant replay. They want to hear from him. They want to hear him when there are mistakes made or when there are questions about what they're trying to improve. I think it would behoove him a lot. It would behoove him to come out and speak more and to be more public. To this point, have you seen any comment publicly from Mike Hill about what's been going on with instant replay?
No. And Buster, this is what bothers me. Now, look, I'm going to acknowledge I'm a big umpires guy. And on the tiniest level possible, I umpired hundreds of games when I was younger. It's a much more difficult job than people think. And I don't think the average fan would last 10 pitches behind home plate of a major league game before they say, get me out of here. This is too dangerous. This is too scary. So we do need to have, I believe, more respect, not less respect for umpires. However, they're the only ones that we don't hear from after a game. When a pitcher gives up the game-winning homer or a ball goes to a guy's legs in the ninth, we're crowded around his locker and the umpires aren't as accountable. But if they're not going to be, then somebody who runs them has to be. Yep. And replay is a flawed system, Buster. We talked about this for years. When you try to make something perfect, sometimes you don't even make it better. And that might be the case here with replay. And someone needs to stand up and say, all right, let me explain what happened on this play. Let explain why this was not overturned. That's what I think we need.
Yeah. And I mean, today, as you're talking, I'm like, I'm going to put in a request. Let's get Mike Hill on Zoom. You know, let's get him out there and talk about some of these plays and what he sees and what he thinks about ideas. Like we've heard from a lot of managers. I have privately, I'm sure you have too, but they say, forget what the call on the field was. You know, let the replay umpire make a call separate of that, whether or not he thinks he's safe or out. Because I think, you know, maybe that was what Matheny's point was yesterday. If someone looked at that with a, you know, for a first time, I think he would have called him out 95 times out of 100.
Right. And that's pretty good for me. This whole thing, you have to be 1,000% right about something. Ridiculous. I'm just not sure that's possible to do that anymore. Right, going back to that Mariners game yesterday, Shane Bieber's major league record of 20 straight games with at least 8 strikeouts ended. I wrote this enormous story, like 6,000 words for Wednesday on the strikeout craze in the big leagues. But let's just talk about Bieber for a minute. And Buster, 20 straight starts with at least 8 strikeouts is a remarkable feat, and it speaks directly to where we are in the big leagues today. Does your head go spinning when we look at all the strikeouts on a daily basis?
Yeah, I didn't update this number or look at the updated number through games of yesterday, but I know a week ago the strikeout rate was 24.2%, which is the highest in the modern era since 1900. It means one of every four batters is striking out, which is why when I see a team like the Padres play, like, you're like, oh my God, these guys put the ball in play. You know, when you see hitters like a DJ LeMahieu taking the ball the other way, it jumps out at you. But I don't see a change, especially with the parade of relievers we're seeing being brought into games, all throwing 100 miles an hour.
Right. I think it's a real problem in the game. The pitchers are just too good right now. But our teams, our industry says, well, so what's the big deal with the strikeouts? 17 times, Buster, this year, 17. A team has struck out 15 or more times in a game and won the game. 17 times. That's unbelievable. But that's where we are. And I'm with you. Until there's a change of the way we play, the strikeouts are going to continue, which, again, it's breathtaking to watch Shane Bieber throw. So with Jacob deGrom and Garrett Cole, I love watching those guys pitch. They're so good. I just think the pitchers are too good right now, and adjustment has to be made. Speaking of too good, Buster, Shohei Ohtani, I'm watching that game yesterday. Mike Trout, it's a little blooper to right center field to keep the inning going. Breaking, by the way, an 0 for 18 for Mike Trout. It just makes you shake your head. And then Ohtani curls one around the pesky pole in right field. So he and Charlie Blackmon are the only two players this year to hit a go-ahead homer in the ninth inning, down to your last out when you're behind at the time. It's just everything he does, he amazes us. Are we going to continue to be amazed by what this guy is doing?
Yeah, because we'll continue to talk about it. We had an off-air conversation, Matt Biskurge and Alex Rodriguez before broadcast yesterday, and Matt was saying he's got to be in the MVP talk conversation because we haven't seen a player is doing what he has done what he is doing this year since Babe Ruth in 1919. And he's impacting the game in so many ways. Forget where the Angels are in the standings. I think we got to look at Otani and what he's doing this year in the same way that we've looked at Trout. I mean, he is just surpassing everybody.
Right. Well, when you lead the league in homers and you got a 2.10 ERA, that's going to put you in the MVP conversation immediately. Okay, Buster, let's get you on an airplane. Let's get you back home. You have spent far too much time in the Atlanta airport. I just saw a cleaning woman working right behind you there. Are you especially proud of yourself that this is the life you've carved out for yourself? Seriously.
It is what it is. But I'm feeling good about myself today because I'm in better shape than Taylor is, right? I mean, no sleep, red eye, but I'm in better shape than Taylor.
40 drinks in 3 days. I checked with the Elias Sports Bureau. That is the most drinks consumed over a three-day period by a producer in the live ball era. That is an enormous number, Tim.
And I think also, Tim, we get a read into how Taylor's feeling. Did you notice on our Zoom call here this morning, he turned off his camera? We don't even know if he's lying on the floor there, if he's even actually upright.
I'm icing my knee, guys.
Sorry, Taylor. We'll get Taylor through the show, and we'll get Buster home, and I'll take it from here. Thanks for joining us, Buster. We'll talk to you next Monday.
Thanks, Tim.
See you.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of the show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Buster. Just go to Indeed.com/Buster right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/Buster. Terms and conditions apply.
Bleacher Tweets.
All righty, Timmy. Bleacher Tweets for a Monday. I am too tired to do my Baltimore accent for you today, so you'll just have to wait till next week. I do have a question for you, though, before we get to baseball questions. Where was Tim Kirkshin's bachelor party, and what did you do for it?
It was so bad. It was 1983. I can't believe I'm going to tell this story. My friends took me out to a place where we shouldn't have gone. It was bad. We shouldn't have gone, but nobody got in any trouble. I didn't do anything stupid, although I fell out of my chair accidentally as people were dancing. I'm not going any further than that. I drank too much. I ate too much, but I got a ride back, and that's probably the last time I've been in a place where people were dancing. Let's put it that way. Okay. It was a disgraceful night, but fortunately we all had a good time, and it wasn't my idea. My friend said we're going, so I went.
Yeah, you can put it on them. All right. Thanks for opening up for us. Let's talk a little baseball. Andrew Stout at Thomas AC Stout writes in, Buster's Jack Flaherty, or Tim, excuse me, an all-star team starter as of today. 7-0 looks way better than any other NL starter, but are win totals valued enough for him to rise above guys with better ERAs?
Look, I'm the last man in the world that still thinks being 7-0 is something really good. And yes, I think Jack Flaherty would be a perfectly legitimate candidate to start the All-Star game. But I mean, he hasn't been as good as Jacob DeGrom. He hasn't been as good as Corbin Burns, but at least he's gone out there every time. He hasn't been hurt. So I'm okay with it. Look, I grew up at a time where you win the game. And Jack Flaherty has done nothing but win. And he's one of the great athletes in the big leagues. I remember last year, Adam Wainwright told me, if you were going to build a picture of the perfect baseball player, he would look just like Jack Flaherty. He could play any sport. He told me, you can't believe what his vertical leap is. He's just a fantastic athlete. And he's a great major league pitcher. So if he starts the All-Star game, I'm good with that.
Next up, we have our pal Don Irvine at Don Irvine. He writes, in which of the sub 400 teams, Tigers, Twins, Rockies, become a contender first?
Well, the Twins should be a contender this year, but they have struggled so badly. I think they just stopped the streak of 22 consecutive games in which they were behind and never came back to win the game. I mean, most teams, you know, you fall behind, you come back, win. The Red Sox, as of the other day, were like 16-16 when they were behind. And the Twins went 22 games without winning any of those. But they're going to get better than this, and they will contend, maybe not this year now with the terrible start, but they'll contend before the Rockies and the Tigers, who have a lot of work to do, especially the Rockies.
Last one for Monday. PK Steinberg writes in, with the rampancy of pitching changes in baseball and necessity of pinch hitters in the NL, is it conceivable that Pujols could remain an everyday player?
I just look at the benches of these major league teams. Again, Taylor, I grew up at a different time. Earl Weaver told me one year that they broke camp with 8 pitchers. And he said, I wanted to break camp with 7 pitchers, but the GM wouldn't let me do it. That was back in a time where he would break camp with 4 starting pitchers, all of whom were ready to pitch 9 innings the first week of the regular season. Now we break camp with 13 pitchers, which leaves our bench down to 4 guys, sometimes 3 guys. I've covered games the last couple of years where the manager had a 2-man bench. It's impossible to run a big league game as a manager when you have 2 guys on the bench, one of whom is a backup catcher, and you have to be careful how you use him because you don't have a 3rd catcher. So yes, Pujols being on a bench with the Dodgers is going to get a lot of at-bats, my guess, but not like he would get as a full-time player and not really as a part-time player, but a bench player plays almost every game in the National League.
Alrighty, that does it for Bleacher Tweets. Hashtag Bleacher Tweets on Twitter if you want your question read on the air. And thank you for listening, everyone. Thanks for bearing with us on a slow, groggy Monday morning.
Okay, thanks everyone for listening to us. Thanks, Buster, for doing this from the Atlanta airport. Thanks, Taylor, for doing this while you're totally exhausted. I had a great time as always. I'll be doing the game tonight between the Mets and the Braves. Carl Ravitch, Eduardo Perez, and I at 7:00 on ESPN. I'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Baseball Tonight podcast. If you're playing fantasy baseball, check out the Fantasy Focus podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. The Baseball Tonight podcast.
And now, 2 pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.